Welcome to Revival for Mission. What would motivate a person to leave a very comfortable environment and go to the ends of the earth to share the gospel message? We know that Jesus said that everyone has to hear. He said, go to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. But as you hear the story today, you'll be motivated to be part of that miracle. Stay tuned for Revival for Mission. Sometimes we might feel that we're on the edge of the earth, isolated from people around us, but God cares for us wherever we are. Where's the most isolated place you've been, Pastor Wilson?
Well, there are probably a number of them, and no offense to any of these places, but when you're in Siberia, in the Russian Federation, that's a pretty isolated kind of setting. And yet there are people there, obviously, and towns and that kind of thing, but it can be wide open in so many ways.
And sometimes it can be close by. I had someone write to me and say, it's only, I think, 40 miles to church, but it takes 7 hours by boat.
Sure,
so
exactly.
Something can limit us. But we're talking here about how we can take the gospel to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people.
You're right. And actually, in the Lord's eye, in His vision of what He sees, none of us are isolated because we're on this little tiny speck within the universe. He manages the universe, which is limitless, and yet He knows even the thoughts that we have, and He knows what the best plans are for our lives. So we should never feel isolated from God. However, that doesn't mean we don't feel isolated in a setting where there aren't many people, but God wants us to touch the lives of whoever is around. And I think that's probably the most important aspect that we're going to be focusing on in this segment.
And we have the testimony of someone who is willing to say, God, wherever you want me to go,
that's right,
I will go and make a difference for the kingdom of heaven.
Absolutely.
But first, why don't you share a spiritual thought with us?
Have you ever felt alone and isolated, as if no one really sees you or even cares? Sometimes life can be lonely, but the Bible gives us the assurance that we are never totally alone. In the beautiful book of Psalms, and particularly Psalm 139, we read these beautiful words. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. What a beautiful thought. What a beautiful concept that no matter where we are, whether it's in the middle of a huge metropolis, a big city, or in the wilds of the most remote wilderness, or even in the ocean, or just in everyday places such as in our homes or work or school, our God, our powerful God, the Almighty God is there. He sees us where we are. He knows our thoughts, and He is always available. Friend, I don't know where you may be at this very moment, but God knows. He has not forgotten you. Today, I encourage you to reach out to Him through prayer. Ask Him to guide you in His ways, and you will be amazed at His answers. He has plans for you, and he may take you farther than you have ever dreamed. Trust him and follow wherever he calls you to go. You'll be glad you did.
Join Pastor Ted Wilson as he travels around the globe visiting amazing places and meeting incredible people who are impacting their world for Jesus. From remote villages to bustling cities, mountains to deserts, ancient vistas to recent revitalization, you won't want to miss these special field episodes of Revival for Mission on the final Friday of each month, right here on Hope Channel.
Welcome back to Revival for Mission. I'm excited to meet our guest today. Tandy, you have an amazing story and an amazing ministry, and it's all in Alaska.
It is.
So how did you end up in Alaska?
Well, I'm formally trained as a wildlife biologist, and God called me out of being a steward of his natural resources and into being a steward for his people. He directed me to Lilia Wagner, Dr. Lilia Wagner. Mm-hmm. I became part of the PSI team.
And that's a kind of a philanthropy team?
It's a philanthropic service for institutes within the NAD, North American Division.
So you were living in Maryland.
I was.
And how did you hyperspace all the way to Alaska?
Lilia came into my office and she said, how would you like to go to Alaska? Well, of course, I thought this was as a consultant, you know, gig, as she calls it. And I said, well, sure, you know, I'd be more apt to do that. I thought I would, I always knew I would get to Alaska as a biologist, but never as a fundraiser / you know, philanthropist. And she said, no, I'm talking about more permanently. And turns out they needed someone that could raise awareness for Arctic Mission Adventure, which is the organization, nonprofit that I work with within the conference, the Alaska Conference office. And so I prayed about it, and it wasn't very long before I realized that God had called me to Alaska to work in the mission field for him.
And what was that called again?
Arctic Mission Adventure.
Mission Adventure. Is that what you're holding there in your hand?
It is. This is our logo, and it has significance because it is not just a standard logo for marketing purposes. It is a logo that is created out of the Alaskan Native concepts. And so we have the center and the circle of holistic community for Alaska Natives, and that comprises of the health, spirituality, and so forth. And that is cornered by the three feathers, which is indicative of the three angels' message. And then we have all of that on the Bible. And so
Beautiful. Our
goal is to send people into the villages to teach the Alaska Natives God's three angels' message by living within the community and serving as Christ has served, in that we provide needs first and foremost.
Beautiful. Now, Tandy, you indicated that you were willing to go to Alaska, you know, for some kind of instructional trip and all that, but you ended up living there. Now, of course, Alaska is a grand place. The grandeur is unbelievable. I mean, when you visit there and you travel mile after mile, kilometer after kilometer, and you don't see anybody or anything, you're just amazed.
Yes.
It's a beautiful place. But what is it actually like to live there?
Mm-hmm. Alaska is a dichotomy, in my opinion. That's what struck me first when I landed and ended up going to these different villages. It is comprised of grandeur. The natural resources that comprise and make up Alaska is just amazing. You know, what is also interesting to folks is the allurement of the last frontier.
Mm-hmm.
But what many people do not realize that visit Alaska, and those that do not, they do not understand or see that it is also a very dark place, not only spiritually, but socioeconomically. We have over 250 federally acknowledged Alaska Native villages, in the bush. And by the bush, that is everything off of the road system. Mm-hmm. And so we have a road system that goes from Seward all the way up to Barrow or Utqiagvik and a little to the east. But everything to the west and south is off of the road system, off of the grid.
And really, the roads, I mean, yes, you've got good, some good roads.
There are roads and then there are roads.
Then they just kind of disappear. And of course, a lot is done through flight, through aircraft, small aircraft.
In fact, it takes 2 days to get from Anchorage to some of the bush villages on the western coast. And because of that, everything has to be flown in or barged in. Prices are doubled in time, you know, in some cases tripled. Mm. Milk can be something like $10 in some of these areas. And so it becomes problematic for the isolated villages to get the resources that they need. And many of them rely on subsistence hunting and fishing. Now, certainly that was what happened in historical times, but they are still very much dependent on subsistence hunting and fishing.
Now, you're mentioning these villages, mm-hmm. which are very isolated, mm-hmm. very difficult. I mean, what does a typical village look like? And how does the daily activity play out in some of these very remote places?
Sure. When I flew into my first village, it happened to be Togiak, and it's on the Bristol Bay area, sort of south of Anchorage. And you have to fly in to Dillingham, which is considered a hub, and then you fly on in a very small plane to Togiak. And the first impression, I've lived outside of the United States, is third world country. Mm. There are no road systems there other than dirt roads. You have one or two trucks that are there, but everyone rides Hondas, as they call it. Everything is a Honda that's four-wheeler related.
And this is not for recreation. This is actually to get
this
around.
This is day to day. So if it's in the summer, you ride on a Honda. If it's in the winter, it's a snowmobile or snow go, as they call it. It is very poor in the appearance. You have dogs running around. You have kids running around. Many of our villages are comprised of 37% of young people between the ages of 1 and 19.
My.
So, you know, we look at that and we say, what a potential to bring God into the equation and bring hope to these folks. Because you have to understand, the Alaska Native populations have the highest suicide rates. They have the highest sexual abuse rates. They have the highest substance abuse rates. Mm. Life is very hard. It's a very complex reasoning for all of these socioeconomic issues. And our goal, I work with a very incredible team of mission workers that live amongst these different people.
How many people are involved in this?
We have nine that are actually in village. Mm-hmm. And then we have certainly our team within the Alaska Conference that works from the conference end of things. But these folks have dedicated their lives as missionaries.
Beautiful.
And they have sacrificed. They live in 6 months of darkness during the winter time. They cannot get the luxuries that we enjoy, even in Anchorage. And so it's a real sacrifice. But they are so beautiful. They open up their homes to the many kids that are running around and needing something to do. Mm. Our church parsonage becomes the hope of the village. And they open the doors to these young folks and they feed them. Because 1 out of 5 kids don't get enough to eat. Mm-hmm. They love them. They tell them about God. Mm. And it's just an amazing experience.
You know, my heart is touched, Pastor Wilson, just listening to Tandy. You're not from Alaska. You're from California. Mm. You've lived on the East Coast of the U.S. But you speak about our villages. Mm. God has put a love in your heart for the people there. How did that happen? That's a supernatural. That's revival for mission, isn't it?
Absolutely. That's true mission.
How did that happen for you?
Well, God made me passionate about things that are important to me. And the minute I stepped foot in these villages, I saw a huge need, a need for love, a need for safety, a need to scoop up every kid if I could and give them a better life. And I can't do that, obviously, but through Arctic Mission Adventure And through the support of this program, we can provide coats, we can provide meals, we can provide an opportunity to come out of the village and go to camp and learn that you may not be able to get out of your situation at home, but there is a Father in heaven that loves you and that wants your heart. And that is what I believe my team and I have been called to do, is to bring a message of hope to the villages.
Now, you've mentioned some things already that you're trying to do to make life better, clothing, food. Can you elaborate a little more on some of the projects that the Arctic Mission Adventure is really pushing to try to draw these young people, especially, and others, into a life that will give them more of an eternal perspective?
Yes, so we provide vacation Bible school type programs.
Oh, beautiful.
So every week we have our Bible workers open the doors of the parsonage, bring these young kids in, and again, they're hungry for love. They're hungry for food, spiritual and physical food.
Of course.
And they're hungry to be part of a safe place. You have to understand some of the areas that they come from and the environments that they come from. Many of the parents are inebriated. They don't have enough food. They are abusive. And to be able to come just for a short time in a vacation Bible school setting and be able to learn about Christ is so important, because it's this foundation of future growth. And then, of course, the next step is to provide a camp setting. Now, we've just piloted bringing day camps into the village, and that is very successful. But what you have is you have situations where these kids really need to get away from being the adult of their environment. And so we're raising money to bring the kids out of the village into one of our resident camps for Native kids. And we have seen just a tremendous transformation in the lives of some of these kids. There was a young girl who said, it is so nice to not have to take care of my drunk grandpa and to be a kid again. And she was baptized at the end of that week.
Beautiful.
And she is an ambassador that has gone back into her village to reach her friends and to hopefully be able to raise money to get her friends to camp and have that same experience.
I'm thinking, Pastor Wilson, that as people are watching, they're saying, what can I do to help?
Yeah,
how
sure.
How can I partner with Arctic Mission Adventures and Tandy? How can we help? Not everybody can go up to those isolated villages.
The main thing is everyone can pray. And these folks cannot pray for themselves. And we need the prayers, because there is a definite spiritual warfare going on. When you're out there doing God's work, and we are out there rising to the call that God has brought us into, it takes prayer. So the first thing and the best thing folks can do is to pray for all of us in Alaska. The second thing, too, is to be able to financially support some of our programs. We have a new program called Adopt a Village, and churches within the lower 48, individual schools, have come on board with us to adopt a village so that we can create this holistic support system within the village that would include radio stations, outreach, mission trips. We offer mission trips. So there's a lot folks can do at many different levels in terms of supporting the folks in Alaska.
I think you said there were about 250?
Correct. About 250 villages, Native villages, and we are only in 9. So that tells you the scope of work. The potential.
It's enormous.
There's more than 250 churches in North America, and families who might look at adopting a village.
Adopt a village. We are hoping in future to be able to sponsor a child for Adventist education. But before we can do that, it requires a lot of infrastructure in place so that they don't fall through the cracks. There needs to be mentors, because it's like coming out of a third world country. Even going to Anchorage is a culture shock, if you will, for some of these folks. And then they end up homeless if they don't have the correct and appropriate support in place.
I'm going to ask you a really important question in a moment about your passion for a mission, because I can see it coming out. It's just
Praise
fantastic.
God. It's inspiring.
But before we get into something so concrete and deep and all of that. I want to ask you, have you really gotten used to the cold weather in Alaska?
You know, I would much prefer the cold weather than the hot. I spent time in Louisiana, and I would much rather, you can always put more layers on.
Yeah.
And to me, I love everything about Alaska. You know, there's the people are amazing. The weather is unique for many people that are in the lower 48. And you have to learn. You can't stay in. You can't sequester yourself inside during the winter time, or you'll go, you know, stir crazy. So you have to adapt. You have to get out. You have to have the tools that you need to stay warm in order to get through the winters. But to me, the hardest part is during the summer, the long days.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's hard to shut down during those long days.
Could you share one story before you talk about your passion and inspire our viewers? One story of a life that was changed that really touched your life.
I will tell you about a village of lives that were changed. We have our most recent Bible workers, a couple, came from Puerto Rico, and they were sent to Selawik. And Selawik is a village that has had some difficulties with organized religion, and they have not always thought positively about Seventh-day Adventist. And so Edna and Jose knew that this was going to be a challenge. And so they arrived right as winter was coming to an end, but there was snow on the ground. The ground was still frozen. And this village had seen a number of suicides. And there was a suicide that occurred right as they were arriving in Selawik. And I love this couple, and all of our Bible workers reflect this mission attitude. And they thought, what can we do to help? Not so that we can manipulate ourselves into to the village. What can we do for these hurting people? They rolled up their sleeves, and Jose got into the grave pit, because everything has to be done by hand, including building the casket. And they started digging out the grave with Alaska natives, and the natives were looking at them saying, what are you doing? Why are you here? And Jose said, because I believe that we all need to be a community, and my God says that we need to help each other. In the kitchen, Edna is preparing food for the family. That changed that entire village, and they are absolutely in love with God. Because they see it reflected in it.
That's Christ's method, isn't it?
It
is. The method of Jesus coming in and showing the love
Amen.
Of God.
Amen. Amen. Now, I can tell that you have a passion for Alaska. You have a passion for mission. In fact, I visited Alaska, so I'm not an expert, but at least I've visited.
Sure.
And if I recall correctly, they have a perspective about people who are, you know, in the lower 48, except it's going outside.
Correct.
When you go outside is when you're leaving Alaska. So there's a certain mindset in Alaska, and that seems to have captured you and your passion for reaching these people. What is it that drives you to really participate in this mission, which is really revival for mission? That's what we ought to be doing everywhere.
Amen.
Tell us a little bit about that as
we
close.
I'll tell you, God and Christ has said, you need to go out into the world and teach
to the ends of the earth.
To the ends of the earth. And, you know, I always thought growing up that meant someplace else other than the United States, right? What I found in Alaska is that my world is Alaska. And the people in Alaska need a hope. They need to know that there's a Christ out there
Amen.
That can lift them up out of this environment and
Amen.
Can give them a hope. And, you know, we need to be doing that because Christ is coming.
Amen.
Tandy, we want to thank you for sharing with us. I want to tell our viewers in the seconds that remain, go to revivalformission.tv to learn more about Arctic Mission Adventure. Revivalformission.tv, see how you can be part of this great miracle. We'll be right back after the break.
Thank you.
Pastor Wilson, I was so touched by Tandy's genuine compassion. She didn't speak about their villages, but our villages.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And I know I have the question, maybe some of our viewers, how do I get that compassion that reflects the compassion of Jesus?
Well, you know, in Tandy's compassion and passion for the people of Alaska, for this special outreach, this Arctic mission adventure, I'm sure that it adapted itself and came about in a larger way because she was in Alaska, but it probably was because she also had a passion for people and for the Lord before she went.
That's right.
And so it's not necessarily the context in which we are that brings this passion. It's the connection with the Lord and
Amen.
With the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And you know, in the book of Romans chapter 5 and verse 5, it says that hope does not make us ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad or poured into our hearts mm-hmm. by the Holy Ghost, who's given to us. So the Lord wants us to be filled with His Spirit. And that's what really makes us compassionate for others and passionate for our activities, for the passion that's needed in order to touch lives. And the Lord says, you know, I want to take your stony heart and I want to give you a heart of flesh, something that's real, something that's going to touch people's lives.
Mm. I know another question that viewers have is, this is going to disrupt my life. Does God really expect me to stop my plans in order to go on this mission adventure?
Well, whose plans would you rather be on, God's plans or your plans? You know, and God says, I have plans for you. I know what I want you
Jeremiah
to do.
Jeremiah 29, verse 11.
What a beautiful
I know
promise.
The plans.
Mm-hmm. What a beautiful understanding that God really has something set for us in the future and in the present, right now, and He wants to open the way for us. So submitting to His plans and to His biblical instruction for you as an individual in sharing this precious power of God's love and the three angels' messages of Revelation 14, telling people that Jesus is coming soon.
Right.
This is really a powerful plan. Why not accept it?
I like what you said, Pastor Wilson. What's better, your plan or God's plan?
Amen.
And when we lay our plans at His feet, that's when miracles happen.
You're right.
Share a closing thought with us.
Friends, what inspiring stories we've heard today as Tandy Perkins shared some of her experiences in Alaska. And while God may or may not call you to serve in such a remote place, He does indeed have a plan for you. Ask Him today to reveal how and where you can serve Him. And we'll see you next time right here on Revival for Mission.